Welcome to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the NXT Podcast. As always, my name is Zachary Smith. I am your host here each and every week to review the episodes of NXT. Now, this is a little bit different than other weeks because generally I record these episodes on Thursday morning. I generally will work overnight, and then Thursday when I get off of work, I will watch NXT, take my notes, and then jump on here to talk to you lovely people. Now, unfortunately, this week I am not able to do that for the first time since I took over here however long ago. Because this week I am going to be on a vacation, anniversary of the honeymoon with my wonderful and lovely wife. So, I'm going to be in a cabin that is not going to have computer access that's going to allow me to watch the show and record this like I normally do. Now, my home setup has the best setup for bringing you the best quality audio that I can and making sure that that comes out. I don't want to record on my phone or something like that, and I'm not going to have the setup that I'm going to need to actually do that in a cabin. Now, that's okay because I'm still here talking to you. Right now, I'm recording this on a Saturday. Number one, this feels weird. I'm not used to doing this on a different day. And also, obviously, I don't have an NXT show to review. But what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some news and notes like we always do. And we're going to talk about NXT this upcoming week because we are setting up for Halloween Havoc, hosted by Shotzi Blackheart. So, we're going to take what we know, we're going to speculate on what we don't know yet, and we're going to have a fun time talking about it anyway. And please feel free to let me know what you think of the show on Wednesday when it does air, and whether what I talked about comes true or not. You can always find me on Twitter. I am at ZachNXT. That's at ZachNXT. Now, I always get my news and notes for the show from Twitter, and we're always talking about wrestling and other fun things over there in our wonderful little community, so feel free to jump over there. Otherwise, you could just keep listening. Now, being that this is Saturday, the most notable thing that's been going on that I haven't really talked about, just because, one, I talked about it when it first started, and it's developed some since then, but we haven't gotten a lot of clear clarification on what exactly this story is or is going to be. Now, what we have had reported to us is that WWE put out a notice to all the employees basically saying that they were to stop familiarizing themselves or putting themselves on third-party apps. Now, the targets for this have generally been Cameo, the service where you can pay a celebrity to record you a personalized message. Big E makes great use of that, amongst other people, raising a lot of money, I believe, for charity. He's very popular on there, as he should be, and he donates a lot, if not all of that, to charity. It's fantastic. And Roderick Strong had a Cameo. He put on Twitter that that was going to be deactivated as of, I think, the 2nd of October. And also, we have Twitch, the streaming service where people will basically stream themselves either playing games or just hanging out. You have a whole chat of people. It's very nice. Now, one of the cool things about Twitch is that with subs or cheers or just super chats, you can donate to the streamer. So, if I'm watching Paige or I'm watching AJ Styles, I can send them some money. Just, hey, I appreciate everything you do. I'm enjoying the stream, so on and so forth. Now, the original problem here, as we understood it, was that Big E or AJ Styles or Paige were, some of them anyway, Dakota Kai, were using their real names, or rather their WWE names. So Big E was Big E. Now, when this story first came out and the tone of it sounded like you can't use your wrestling name on these third-party sites without approval because WWE owns those names, that, from a business perspective, made some sense. Not really, but I can defend it. If you have a Big E who you feel like you've put a lot of money behind and you've advertised him and he is known because he is a WWE superstar, and you have, let's say, Big E on, let's say, Twitch, and he's talking about wrestling and he's answering wrestling questions, then I could see a situation where they would want to save that either for some documentaries or probably for nothing at all. But I could see a world in which you would have to get approval for those things if you are going to use your stage name or your WWE name, because in, I believe, all WWE contracts, they own that name. That's why Big E's name is Big E, because they can't own his real name, so they want to give him a name that they can own. Therefore, they're the only ones that can put out merch. WWE's the only one that can advertise them, and so on and so forth. Now, as I understand it now, the problem is they are coming after Cameo, Twitch, other third-party services altogether, whether you use your real name or not. So Paige doesn't use her real name on her Twitch. She uses her, or rather her WWE name, sorry, on Twitch. She uses her real name. I do not see a universe where it makes sense that Paige, not using her real name, going on and talking about whatever she talks about on stream, which I don't even think, I don't think she sits there and just answers wrestling questions the whole time. I think she just talks to her fans. So essentially what WWE is doing is they are trying to control the ways that people can make money outside of this job where they aren't even employees, they're independent contractors. Now keep in mind, they haven't been using this time in the most profitable quarter in their company's history to, say, work on healthcare for their independent contractors. Even though if you get hurt, and like a Jason Jordan, and you have to become an agent or another backstage job or an office worker, you become an employee, whereupon you get your salary and then you can get health insurance. If you're an independent contractor wrestler, i.e. the most by far dangerous job in that company, you don't get any health care. So you have times where, like, a Mick Foley, because of all the times he sacrificed his body for this company, had to reach out to fans and crowdsource money for operations that you need because of this very dangerous job that you do a lot. There has been no matches in the history of WWE that felt good or that weren't painful in any way. Even taking a simple back bump hurts a lot. It's not something your body is supposed to do, and wrestlers hurt. So rather than working on health insurance, as I said, they've been working on cutting off revenue streams. So not only are you supposed to cease and desist, they're talking about it in such a way that they're going to update the contract. So rather than it becoming a nice thing that you're doing just for yourself and for fans or for charity, it's something that is going to be in your contract and you're going to be obligated to do. And for some reason, your money that you get from Twitch or Cameo, whatever it is going to count against your downside guarantee. A downside guarantee is a clause in a contract where no matter what, you're going to make this amount of money. So say your downside is $100,000. So whatever business is doing that year doesn't matter for a downside guarantee. So if I'm a WWE superstar and I have a $100,000 downside guarantee, I know that I'm going to make $100,000. Now, based on when there were house shows in the old days, or based on payouts, or based on how business is going, you can make more than that. So WWE has always advertised themselves as a company of potential. They generally won't start you out at a higher downside guarantee, but they bring in people, the carrot on the stick being, you can make a lot of money here. Now, unfortunately, you making a lot more money depends on a lot of factors beyond just you. Now, yes, you can be go out there, be the best performer you can be, make yourself very important to the company. You can have great ideas for merch and great ideas for characters and really take off. But you're also relying on the other people on the card that you have no control over. You're also going against really a whole company. Not only the fact that they can have their most profitable quarter ever and still lay off a bunch of employees. I'll remind you, they're still the only wrestling company that has released anybody. Impact, nobody. AEW, nobody. New Japan Pro Wrestling, nobody. WWE, a bunch. WWE is by far the most popular wrestling company in the world to this day, although they do not deserve to be based on the content they put out. They still released a bunch of people, a lot of talented people. You're also dealing with the fact that at any time, for any reason, WWE and Vince McMahon or agents can get bored with you. And if they get bored with you, you're not getting the same opportunities that you would. And they like to hang on to cliches like you need to make the most out of every opportunity you have to be on TV, or you need to buy into your character and believe it 100%, otherwise the fans won't. Now, to a degree, that is true. You need to make the most of every minute that you are on TV. Shotzi Blackheart from NXT is a great example of that. I don't think they had plans for her specifically when she came into the company, but she has made the most of every moment that she has had on television. Fine. But in a lot of situations, if you're put into a nonsense story, in a nonsensical story, I don't know how I'm supposed to make the most out of that. So if I'm put into a bad story that's going nowhere, if say I'm the Spirit Squad or Legacy, Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase, during the point at which we were in the heyday, I believe that's 2009-ish, of D-Generation X, when Triple H and Shawn Michaels came back together. On the surface, if I am in the Spirit Squad or I am Legacy, I'm getting to work with Triple H and Shawn Michaels, Shawn Michaels being one of the best to ever do it, Triple H being, for everything else, an excellent in-ring performer. On the surface, that's great. I'm getting TV time in what would be a main event spot against two people that either are or will be in the Hall of Fame individually. The problem there is that the Spirit Squad, especially, and Legacy, were never taken seriously in those feuds. Legacy would often get beaten by Triple H or Triple H and Shawn Michaels. The one time that I can recall Legacy beating Triple H, he immediately made something of a joke out of it and teased tagging with Shawn Michaels. The Spirit Squad, what was it, five members, I believe, were given a terrible gimmick of male cheerleaders, which did not elicit the kind of heat that they thought it did. It did not elicit, oh man, I hate watching these male cheerleaders, they're so annoying. It elicited, I don't want to watch this. That's change the channel heat. That's not good heat. Good heat is MJF, or good heat is Roman Reigns right now, where I want to see Jey Uso beat the crap out of Roman Reigns at Hell in the Cell. Logically, my brain tells me that won't happen, but I want to see Roman Reigns, as cocky as he is, as arrogant as he is, as much of a jerk as he is in storyline. He's doing a fantastic job. There are moments where he will make me want to see him get punched in the face. And that's the whole point of a heel. Now, or a bad guy. Now, change the channel heat is, let's say, a Vicky Guerrero or a Spirit Squad, a Lars Sullivan, a Velveteen Dream, somebody who does not make me angry. I don't want to see them get beaten up. I just don't want to see them. And I don't want to see somebody remove them. I just want to change the channel and not watch. So I'm a member of the Spirit Squad. I'm given this terrible gimmick, and then I'm put in there with Shawn Michaels and Triple H. Now the problem is that DX just reformed. You know you're getting nowhere with this. You can get over without winning, that is absolutely true, but not once did that ever happen. They were beaten down and beaten down and beaten down. And then eventually, they were beaten up by DX, put into a big road case. They locked the road case, and then put a sticker on there that said something to the effect of ship back to OVW, or Ohio Valley Wrestling, which was a developmental kind of territory that WWE had, where Batista, John Cena, Randy Orton, Brock Lesnar, Shelton Benjamin, a bunch of people came from. And so if I'm the Spirit Squad, I'm put in this feud where not once am I ever taken seriously as a threat, and then at the end of the feud I'm beaten, which is fine, except that I'm put into a box and shipped back to OVW. So at what point in that feud was I supposed to make the most out of anything? I couldn't make the most out of TV time, where the point is for me to just look like a fool, not being taken seriously, and then it's held against me that I'm not taken seriously. So point being, I can't rely on the company to always put me in the best position, and I can't rely on the fact that making the most out of my TV time is going to result in anything unless very specifically WWE wants me to make the most out of my TV time. If I am somebody who they want to push and want to be behind, then yes, they will go somewhere with that. But it literally took the fans rioting damn near for Daniel Bryan to be put into that WrestleMania match. WWE will tell you that at WrestleMania 30, Randy Orton, Batista, and Daniel Bryan was the plan all along, and they just had to keep piling heat on top of it. There is no universe in which that is true. Everything they said about Daniel Bryan being a B-plus player and not being on this level was absolutely true. Their hand was forced, and they walked back saying, well, we got you, fans. They like to do that a lot. And a lot of the time, I don't think they got us. And they'll laugh and say, huh, Marks, it's easier to work up now than it was back in the day. And that's great. To a degree, it is easier with the online wrestling community. But I feel like a lot of the time, the online wrestling community just sees through bull, and then they work back their explanation after the fact. So you have your downside. You're in this spot. And what they want to do is, if you are on one of these third-party services, they either want you to shut it down, or they want you to immediately sign a new contract that has this clause in it that makes this Twitch or Cameo an obligation. And I believe even to that point, WWE would get something like 50% of your earnings, and the other 50% would count towards your downside guarantee. So if I make $20,000 on Cameo, then that $20,000 goes against my downside. So now, instead of $100,000, I'm getting $80,000 as my downside. So the company has literally just paid me less. I have paid them $20,000 as well, because that is 50% of what I made. And then they're getting more money on top of that because they saved the $20,000 they're not having to pay me. And I want you to keep in mind that they're going to say this even if I use my real name on Cameo or my real name on Twitch and I'm not over there just talking about WWE matters. This doesn't make any sense to me as a business, and it doesn't make sense to me especially just as a person. I understand that sometimes you need to make business decisions. When they laid off all those people, a lot of people said, oh, it sucks, but they had to make a business decision. Things are hard right now. That is quite literally the opposite of what is actually happening. Things are not hard for WWE right now. Things are literally financially better than any other point in the company's history. Not in the mid-80s when Hulkamania was running wild, not in the Attitude Era when Stone Cold and The Rock were white hot, not in the 2000s when they may have been at their best creatively in 99 and 2000, not in the mid to late 2000s when John Cena was selling all kinds of merch to kids and Edge was on the rise, you had Batista. No, it's right now in 2020 when the creative may be at its worst since the mid-90s, if not worse in some situations. And they're still making more money than they ever have. That's because of the Fox deal. That's because of the Saudi shows. That's because of a lot of things. It has nothing to do with ratings, because those are almost at all-time lows. It has nothing to do with the creative. That's been absolutely terrible. That's no fault of the talent. That's the fault of the decision makers. And then you want to blow off some steam, go on Twitch, play some games, and hang out, and then this is no longer a fun thing, it's a contractual obligation. You're trying to get me to sign a new contract immediately, and now any money that I make off of that has nothing to do with you counts against my downside guarantee. Again, I could see a world in which if Big E uses his real name and answers wrestling questions, I could see where WWE would want to cut. But if Big E's going to use his real name and give shout-outs on Cameo, I see nothing where that has to do with WWE. Argument some people make is that, well, WWE put money behind them, they advertised them, they built their name up. And that's fine, but The Rock isn't having to give 50% of every movie that he makes. The Rock is very much a WWE guy. The Rock debuted at Survivor Series and won. The Rock was hated. The Rock became one of the greatest of all time for a lot of people. And The Rock made his name in WWE. And to this day, when sometimes when movies are being advertised, it will be Dwayne The Rock Johnson, because that is how he is known. If we're going to continue with this logic, because he was built up in WWE and The Rock comes from WWE, then just on that basis, you would have to give a part of every movie you make that is advertised with Dwayne The Rock Johnson back to WWE, despite having not worked with them full-time in years and years and years. So just because you put me on a bigger platform, I appreciate that. The transaction is not, I brought you in, and so you're going to give me a cut. That's what Vern Gagne would do when he trained Ric Flair and all those wrestlers. He would say, it's going to be a booking fee, and Ric Flair just never paid it because that's ridiculous. The transaction is not, you're going to give me back money for everything that you do subsequently because you owe me. The transaction is, you're going to build me up as a star if you feel like it, and I'm aesthetically pleasing to you, and I talk well, and I speak your preferred language well, and I just feel like it that day and don't get bored with you. And in return, I'm going to perform for you and make you money, because you don't want stars like Stone Cold, The Rock, John Cena anymore. You want the WWE to be the biggest star in WWE. And so I go out there and do my best to perform, bring in fans. I hurt myself every night. I wrestle through pain and injuries, and then I don't get healthcare. And so that is the transaction. The transaction is that you build me up so that I can perform for you. It makes no sense to me that the transaction is you build me up so I can perform for you. And also, out of some sense of, oh my God, thank you so much, or some guilt, I'm supposed to give you money if I'm on a streaming service, not using the name I use in your company and not talking about your company in that stream. So it makes no sense to me why that would be something that you would do. Now, Paige put a very interesting message on Twitter. She said that she's been reading up on unions recently. I think Zelina Vega commented on it and did that emoji that's the eyes looking to the side. And that's all well and good that you are reading up about unions, but you actually have to act upon that. Jesse Ventura wanted to start a union for the wrestlers back in the day. The story goes that Hulk Hogan snitched him out to Vince McMahon, and Vince McMahon squashed it before it could get started. That's why Jesse and Hulk didn't get along, and I see Jesse's point. Now, you can't unionize unless you have just about everybody. If two people unionize, then they can go against that, but all of the wrestlers would collectively have to unionize so that you can't do this and that you can't set up this environment where you say that you hate talking about contracts with talent when there's lawyers around, because it slows down the process. It slows down the process because they take the stuff out of the contract that's screwing you over and make sure their client's best interests are represented. So it's very funny that a company would have a problem with a lawyer coming in and would openly be hostile to that idea. It's to ward you off of it. It's to make you uncomfortable with doing it and feel bad for doing it. Why are you bringing in this lawyer, man? This could be so much faster if you just talk to us. Just talk. Hey, just talk to me. We're friends. I'm Vince McMahon. I'm like a father figure to you. He uses that to get business done. And he uses that to guilt talent and to make them think, oh, I don't need a lawyer. Ah, it's just Vince. And then he puts things in there that screw you over, and you never unionize. So if wrestlers were to unionize, they would have a better footing in order to stop things like this happening. To this point, it has not happened in wrestling. I don't know that it will, but I know that it needs to. However you feel about unions in your daily life, wrestler, the basis of a union is literally a union. WWE holds all the power. You can't go outside your contract. If you have a 90-day compete, that's 3 months. You cannot show up on another show no matter what. But if WWE feels like making more than the most money they've ever made, they can release a bunch of people with essentially no reason. And then they'll just say, oh, it was a real hard time, even though it wasn't. So I think wrestlers do need to unionize. And I hope that they do. I don't feel like they will. All we could do is hope. We're going to talk a little bit about what happened on SmackDown. A couple of things. We had the New Day's farewell match on SmackDown. Big E is staying on SmackDown. Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods are going to Raw. So it was a six-man tag. The New Day versus Cesaro, Sheamus, a bar reunion, and Shinsuke Nakamura. Now, obviously, the New Day won, and they had an emotional moment in the ring where they were all going over, you know, when they first started this. And Xavier Woods was talking about how these two took a chance on a guy that if they hadn't, he probably wouldn't still be here. Somebody that was going nowhere and probably was going to be cut. Big E would talk about them sitting in, you know, restaurants in different towns and just talking about their personal lives and the families and really getting to know them. And Kofi Kingston said that around, I think it was 2012, before they started New Day, he was in a position, he starts getting choked up here, as did I, that he didn't know that he wanted to be here anymore. I can certainly understand how he felt that way at that point. And that he was sitting on a road case and Big E and Xavier Woods came up to him with this idea to change things and to really do this. And that's when we saw New Day, and they went through a period where we didn't know exactly what they were going to be. They tweaked their characters, they came out gangbusters, and since then they have been one of the most popular factions that have ever been in WWE. It depends on whether you want to call them a faction. I don't know if they have enough people, or a group, or a team, whatever. They've been some of the most popular. I have to imagine they've sold some of the best merch, and all three of them, particularly Big E and Xavier Woods, are excellent promos and can get their points across very well. They are 9-time WWE champions, 7 times for SmackDown, 2 times for Raw. I'm not including when they swapped titles with the Street Profits the other week because that was a wasted opportunity. They're 9-time WWE tag champions. I believe that ties the Dudley Boys record, not including all the other titles the Dudley Boys won. They're maybe one of the best tag teams of all time, depending on if you want to classify them as a tag team with Freebird rules, meaning any two of the three can defend the titles at any one time. And unfortunately, with the draft, they're being broken up. Now, from a storyline perspective, it makes no sense that Raw would not also draft Big E, but whatever. They're being broken up. And they had this great emotional moment, and it was a great send-off for this group that I don't think is done. I think we'll see again down the road, but it's going to give them an opportunity to kind of go in different directions. And worst-case scenario, you can always find a way to trade Big E to Raw and get them all back together. There was a report that they wanted Big E to tone down the comedy and be more serious. I'm torn, because on one hand, if you are going to just make him serious and brooding, that is taking away just about every quality that made him somebody that was attractive for a main event, or rather a singles and hopefully main event push. Big E is a big guy. He's a great talker. He's really funny. But when he's in the ring, he's very serious. On the other hand, I can see where if you want him to be a little bit more serious and have more of an edge to him, when he was going against Sheamus in that Falls Count Anywhere match and he told the ref to get out of his way, as Sami Zayn pointed out, it was a real moment. It was one of the most aggressive moments in a match we've seen from Big E. I can see that being a good thing to put in more of those elements. I absolutely want Big E to be more serious than he would be if he were around the New Day all the time, which I imagine he would be naturally, and he has been. But I don't want him to stop being entertaining, and I feel like Big E is naturally charismatic enough that he's not just going to be a brooding man of few words, which will do nothing for anybody. So it'll be interesting. Kofi and Xavier are going to go on and be a great tag team. I think that they can continue success. It's not going to be the same without Big E, but they're still one of the best tag teams in the world on the mic and in the ring. Big E, I think, is going to do very well as a singles wrestler. I'm not worried about him at all. I want to go to the main event, Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman. Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman had a big old hoss fight. Two big dudes hitting each other real hard. Braun Strowman was beating on him at the beginning, and then Roman Reigns took over. Now, Roman ends up winning this match with a choke. I don't know what it's called. Just kind of a front choke with like a body scissors around Braun. It was basically like a front face lock, but lying down with his legs around Braun. I like that they're putting new moves in his arsenal as well, and he has another option to finish somebody off than just the spear. Now, Jey Uso came out. He had a chair, and after the match, Roman basically turned his back to Jey and put his arms out, indicating, you want a free shot? Take a free shot. And Jey threw the chair down, and Roman was laughing at him that he couldn't do it. And Jey uppercuts him. Roman falls back against the ropes. Jey hits him with a super kick, and then Jey is very aggressive here. Roman last week said that he loved him. Jey at this point is yelling, you love me? I love you too! And goes and starts beating on Roman with the chair. That's great. That's showing a lot more aggression from Jey than we had before. He's now been pushed to a point where he's a lot more aggressive. I love it. People are starting to separate them, and they're pulling Jey Uso back, and because they're holding Jey Uso, Roman is able to get up, hit the Superman punch. So I'm really excited to see their match at Hell in a Cell. I know how it's going to end, but I'm still really excited to see what Jey can do in this match and what Roman can do in this match. Roman's been so great since he came back. This is a natural role for him, and I love it. So let's talk a little bit about what we could get on NXT and what we're going to get at Halloween Havoc. We're going to get Candice LeRae challenging Io Shirai for the women's title. Nailed that word. This is a rematch of not that long ago. I see no reason why Candice LeRae would be the women's champion at this point, other than there are a lot of babyface or good guy women that seem to be coming after the title. As of right now, Ember Moon is a face. Rhea Ripley's a face. Toni Storm appears to be a face. There's a lot of face or good guy women or good women. I get one. Good women? Good guy women? One of those. That are gunning after the title. So I guess I could see a scenario in which you put it on Candice LeRae so that one of these baby faces can get it from her. But I think Io Shirai is one of the best champions in all of WWE, and I see no reason to have Candice beat her, and I don't think she will. Or at least I hope not. I don't think it's time to take that title. I think Rhea Ripley is still the person that's going to take that title from Io Shirai, and I think it should be Io Shirai. We're also going to get Johnny Gargano challenging Damian Priest for his North American Championship. He defended it against Dexter Lumis this week, and I've heard a lot of people, some Wrestling Observer folks, going on and on about how this character's stupid, Dexter Lumis, and he can't work, and blah, 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 blah. And I am obviously biased because I am a big fan of Dexter Lumis and that character. The first thing is that I don't see how you could deny that he plays this character well and that it is an effective character. He's an excellent character. They took a lot of elements from his Impact character and they improved on some things and really just moved over some things. I do not understand the idea that he can't work and he's unwatchable. He's not Johnny Gargano, he's not Adam Cole, he's not somebody that's going to carry a match, but in the history of this company has never been built around great workers. And believe me, I want everybody to be a great worker. It's the most fun thing about wrestling. But I think when you have a strong character like this, I think that Dexter Lumis is a great worker at working his character. So I don't care if you can't do every move under the sun and can't put on a 5-star match. I've never cared about the idea of a 5-star match. But I think Dexter Lumis is excellent at playing that character in a match, which I think a lot of the time is the point. Not every match on a TakeOver card or an NXT card is going to be just two people going after a 5-star match. Some of it is going to be character work. And I think that if you're excellent at working a character, like Dexter Lumis is, I don't know that a lot of that other stuff matters. And to insinuate that he's unwatchable or to essentially laugh it off every time you're talking about him as if he is a joke because he's not up to your standards of wrestling with all of your wrestling experience. I don't care, man. I enjoy watching him. A lot of people enjoy watching him. He doesn't flub moves and look stupid out there. I enjoy every match that I've seen of his. I don't understand that sentiment. Frankly, it's a little bit insulting to my ability to discern those things as a wrestling fan. I don't like to be talked at as if I'm stupid, or especially I don't like if people tell me that it's stupid if I like something. We're going to have a tag team title match. Breezango is defending against Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish from Undisputed Era. It would seem as though it would make sense to put it on Strong and Fish because we're continuing that story where clearly they paid off Ridge Holland to attack Adam Cole at TakeOver. Don't know if Kyle O'Reilly's involved in that or not. He was obviously out there in the match, but could still have paid Ridge before the match. What I know is that Bobby Fish and Roderick Strong did it. What I think is that Kyle O'Reilly might have helped. So I don't know if we're going to get more development on that or if we're going to have to wait, because obviously Ridge Holland is hurt. He hurt with his ankle and his knee. He's going to be out for a while, and that sucks for Ridge Holland because he was on the cusp of being on a really important story. But it would make sense to me for Strong and Fish to win. At Halloween Havoc, we're going to get Rhea Ripley versus Raquel Gonzalez. This is a women's version of a hoss fight. It's two big, imposing, scary ladies who are going to beat the crap out of each other. Rhea Ripley had a circumstance similar to this, pardon me, with Mercedes Martinez and their cage match. Seems like Mercedes Martinez might be coming back to NXT. She's not whatever her dumb name in Retribution was. I'm sure she's super happy about that. Everybody else, try and do the same. Get out of there. I think this is going to be a really good match. I don't know if I would assume you're going to put Rhea Ripley over here and have her win just because you're not going to have Raquel Gonzalez going for the title at right this moment. I don't think you have people that I think are further up in line than her. And I think Rhea Ripley's on a roll and that should continue. At some point, probably this coming week, we're going to get Ciampa and Velveteen Dream butting heads. I also think Kushida might be included in that. Kushida's not doing a ton right this specific moment. He was in a match with Ciampa. Velveteen Dream came off the top rope and tried to hit Kushida, missed, and hit Ciampa. Ciampa won by disqualification, but was unhappy about it. So you seems as though they're building towards Ciampa, Velveteen Dream, but I would also like to, I would much rather see Ciampa, Kushida, but if I can't have that, I'll take Kushida just being in the program. And obviously, we're still waiting to see what's up with Finn Balor. Fractured his jaw, I think, in two places, or broke his jaw in two places. He had surgery. He's definitely not going to be at Halloween Havoc. The official word is that they're going to see how he's progressing and decide whether they need to strip the title from him or not. My understanding, based on reports, is that is actually true. They're going to wait and see how he is doing in rehabbing the jaw, and they're going to see from there. So, hopefully, he's making enough progress that down the road he can come back, because the next takeover won't be for some time. He's definitely not going to make Halloween Havoc, but you can keep the NXT title off TV for a bit and bring him back when he's ready. And it would really suck if Karrion Kross won the title and immediately got injured, and then Finn Balor won the title and immediately got injured. So hopefully his recovery is going well. So all the best to Finn Balor. I think we're going to have a really fun episode of NXT this week. I'll be watching. I'm sure I'll be tweeting about it. So you can check me out over there at ZachNXT. That's at ZachNXT. And let me know what you think of the show. What you think of what I've talked about here, from SmackDown to freaking third-party services to what I think for results for title matches. I think we're going to have a lot of good setup this week for Halloween Havoc. And I think that we're going to get some really good matches. And I'm excited to see what we get. Again, by the time you hear this, I will be in a cabin. So that's where I will be. I'm sorry that I couldn't bring you a straight NXT review, but it occurred to me just today that I wasn't going to be able to do it. So I wanted to record for you guys, because one of my favorite things to do in my life is to come here and record this NXT podcast and get feedback from that. So, again, at ZACHNXT on Twitter, if you want to hit me up over there. We're always having fun talking about wrestling. If you want to hear anything added to the show, any ideas, please let me have them. Otherwise, for this week, I have been Zachary Smith. You, as always, have been fantastic, and thank you for listening.